All right, first of all, I want to thank Dean. Thankful for your life, and thank you for asking me to teach. And really, all these guys, you know, Glenn, Patty, Jeff, Jesse, Albert, and all the ones that are not here. You know, these are the guys you want to have on your team. Really thankful for their lives. And you know, when the caquita or little poop hits the fan, that's when you want them. That's really when you want them on your team. And really take advantage of their lives. Whenever you need help, counsel, someone to talk to, someone that gives you the word, these are the guys. These are the top of the crop, not your advisors telling you what college classes or anything like that. I mean, that's important too if you're going to school, but these are the guys that really, really help. So what I want to share today is believing God will take care of you by taking care of your thoughts. So we can go to Mark chapter 9. And I'll share some records. And this is Jesus Christ sharing. So Mark chapter 9. Verses 14 through 29. There we go. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not." So here's the situation. You know, they bring this kid, he has a dumb spirit, and they cannot cast him out. So let's say someone brings to the fellow laborers someone that has a devil spirit, and they cannot cast him out. So we'll continue reading. Verse 19, "He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child." So there you have it. As soon as they brought him unto him, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So it was since he was a child. Verse 22, "And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." And this is key. You know, whenever someone does something like this, wants to get hurt like that, do you guys think it's from God? No, exactly. It's not from God. It's from the false God, the God of this world, the fake God, the God that has been defeated. It's the adversary, the devil. So, the second part of verse 22, it says, "But if thou canst," if you can, Jesus Christ, "do anything, have compassion on us and help us." So just picture it. You're in front of Jesus Christ and you're like, "Can you help a brother out? Can you do something?" Wild thing to ask, right? And in here, canst or can means to be able to have the power to do it, to be able to do something, to be capable of doing something. And the guy here is asking him, "If you have the power to do anything, can you do it?" That's crazy. I don't know if I would ask that to Jesus Christ, but let's go on. Verse 23. "Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe," he turned it back to him, "if you can believe, all things are what? All things are possible to him that believes." And that's the reality of things. If you can believe, things are possible. And things are possible from where? This. Right? This is what we have. All things that are here are true. God doesn't lie. All things are possible to him that believeth. Possible means capable of being done. It is capable of being done. That's what it means. All things that are promised in God's word or that are available from God can be done. They can be brought to pass. God is able to do all these things. That's the God we had. And really, we heard manifestations. I was like, that's it. I don't need to come up. We heard that God loves us, that he cares for us, that we don't have to be afraid, that he has all the resources. That's the God we have. And that's the God that we get to believe, you know, believe in him. And God really is able to do all these things that we can do what? Believe, right? We can believe, and he can do all these things. God is able to deliver people. God is able to heal people, help people, just take them out of the miry pit, miry clay, you know, get them out of, like, the stickiest situations. That's the God we have. And to believe means to be persuaded, to think to be true. That's what it takes. Let's go to chapter 1 of Mark. Verses 40 to 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There it is again. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. And that touch him is not like, Isabel, come here. If someone has leprosy, you just don't, like, not even this. You don't want to even touch them, right? Because it's contagious and all that stuff. But touch here means that he hugged him, so. You know. Oh, sorry. Fully embraced, you know. That's the real touch. And that's what he did. You know, he wasn't afraid because he walked with God. If God tells you to do something like that, are you going to do it? Yeah. You should. You know, if God's working in you, you got to do it. And not be afraid. So, again, here we have the question. If you can, you know, can you do it? Does God want to do it? Yeah. Hell yeah. Would the Lord Jesus Christ do it? Yeah. And guess who do we have in us? God in Christ in us. So would you guys do it? Yes. He wants to take care of every situation. And Jesus here was moved with compassion, and he hugged him, you know. And then he said, you know, yes, I do want to do it. I do desire to help you. I do desire to pray for you, heal you, you know, whatever it takes. And then we'll continue here. Oops. My Bible turned. Here we go. 41. So I will, I do desire, be thou clean, you know. And touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and guess what he did? He began to tell people. I would too. I mean, if you got something going on for a while and then you get healed, would you not want to tell? I think that's the case. He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but what was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So he did the opposite, and then Jesus couldn't be by himself. You know, everyone was looking for him. So that's what we have, really. Jesus Christ always represented God on earth, and he did his will. that's what we got now. We get to do that in his stead. And there are several times in the Bible, or many times in the Bible, where God has said he can do great things. You know, all his promises, more than 900 something promises that we can claim in his word. And we just have to put our confidence in God and believe, and we can do it. It's all it takes, prayer and believing. We can have confidence in him. You know, right now, the world is making things to be questioned, right? That you don't accept whatever people tell you. That you always have to look it up, you know. They tell you something, I'm like, no, let me just check. Hey Siri, is this true? You know, but that's not what we want to do with the word. We don't want to question it. We just want to take it as it is. And the word is simple. And we get to believe it and just put our full trust and confidence in God, and it will come to pass. And that's the reality of this life that we have. That's really what we are, right? We're believers. That's our identity here. It's not, oh, this is my name tag, right? You know, or let's think about it. My title at work is senior software engineer. Ooh, big words. You know, I don't really care. I really don't care about it. I really think my identity is that I'm a son of God with all power. I'm a believer, and that's who I really am. And it takes believing to be a believer, right? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. So this is the first part of my teaching. It's some records in the Gospels. And then I'll go into the second part, which is taking care of our thoughts. So Matthew chapter 9. Verses 27 and 29. Through 29, sorry. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men, followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith or believing, be it unto you. So, in verse 28, and he asks them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can do this? Do you really think I can do this? Do you really consider and put your confidence that I can do this? You know, he didn't ask them, Have you been a good person? How many good works have you done? You know, have you tithed, abundantly shared? Are you giving your money to the ministry? Do you go to fellowship every week? That's a big one. Do you know some of these cool leaders over here? No, he didn't ask him that. He just asked him, can you believe that I can do this, that I am able to do this? And that's all it took. And they said unto him, Yea, Lord, I do believe. And then in verse 29, according to your faith be it unto you. According means in agreement, conformity, in agreement with what you believe. You get what you agree with. According to your faith be it what? Unto you. And so it becomes. According to your believing, so it becomes. It comes into existence and it comes to pass. It happens. So who do we put our trust in or confidence in or believing in? God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and not ourselves. So that's the first part. Now we'll get to the second part, which is taking care of our thoughts. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is one of my favorite sections in the Bible, talking about believing. and taking care of your thoughts, praying, all that stuff. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And that's a rhetorical question. We don't even have to answer that. Don't even entertain it in our brains. But the answer is yes. We are much better than birds. In verse 25, it says, take no thought for your life. And that means don't be anxious or overly concerned. It means to be anxious about, to have a distracting care. So don't be anxious for your life. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to get dressed in? You know, what clothes you have? Don't get worried about any of that stuff, because God already takes care of you. He's our provider. He's the one that supplies all our needs. And it's a distracting care. And we don't want to have that, right? And this is really that it implies forethought. So you're thinking it beforehand, and you're getting anxious about it in your head. And you're like, what am I going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to eat tomorrow? And it just builds up, bubbles up, just like fear, right? And then it could get uncontrollable if you don't renew your mind. You don't control your thoughts. So we don't want to have that. We really want to put our trust and confidence in God. Let's continue here. 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And one cubit is the length from the bottom of your elbow to the top of your middle finger. So that's the span of it. It's about a little over a foot or so. So let's think about it. 2007, I think, was the first youth camp that I came. It was at the property, if you know where that is, in Middletown, New Jersey. And my first memory of Jeff Waite was we were playing basketball, and I don't know if he remembers this, we were playing basketball on the blacktop. And he went to block me because I was about to shoot. And I just jump with my knee in front, and I just knee him in the you-know-what. That's my first memory of Jeff Waite. But, you know, the besides that, that youth camp really changed my life. Not because of that situation, but really because of all the people that I saw there. How old were you then, Jeff? when Jeff was young, at a young age. Now, I forget if you were doing fell labors then or you already got married. So I saw all these guys doing fell labors, right, committing a year of their lives to serve God and his people. And that's where believing took me. I don't know how many years it took me to be able to come here. And I don't know if you know, like, the process of being to come here legally. But it takes time. It takes effort. And it takes really not dismaying. And I know there's a few of you that have gone through something like that, and it really, really takes time and prayer, believing, and that God will take care of you. And now I'm here in front of you guys, married to a wonderful wife. And in my wildest dreams, I would have thought that I would oversee a teen fellowship. You know, that year, 2007. I stayed for a month at Jack Avalos' house, or no, his grandma's house. I worked with his dad, J.C. Avalos, for a month, and I was able to come to fellowships, and Dean would pick us up in his minivan and drive us all together to fellowship.
And that's when I met Dan and Tim, Aaron, Matt, Brian, Stephanie, and a few other guys. And it was just, again, life-changing. And I can't believe it yet. It's really unreal to be in front of you guys and just see all you guys grown up. You know, Jack was just a little kid back then, and Luke, ooh, he was still a menace back then. But you know, it's great to see you guys. Same with you, Tim. I remember when you were a little baby. So I'm just thankful for your guys' lives and that you're here in this moment in time and this crazy world we get to live in, where AI is taking precedence over truth, and you don't even know what's right with that stuff. But we really get our standard here. This is our standard. This is where we get the truth. This is where we get all the answers that we need. You know, so it's great. It's a great life that we get to live. So where was I? The qubit. 25. Yeah, the qubit. 27. So, you know, I was shorter back then. Jeff is a tall guy. You know, that's what kind of like reminded me, you know. I was jumping because he was taller. 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. So are we better than the flowers? Yes. Yeah. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith or little believing? Therefore, take no thought, don't be overly concerned, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do Gentiles seek, happy face, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God, or heavenly Father, knows that we have need of all these physical things, material things. He knows it. So just pray and believe. And let's take a break here, and we'll go to 1 Peter 5:7. You can put your ribbon, your friend's shoe or something, I don't know, their head. So 1 Peter chapter 5. And I know someone went over this yesterday, but it says, casting all your care upon him, verse 7, for he careth for you. Casting means to throw upon, to place upon. And it's not like an, you know, passive, like, here, I'm going to throw upon it. It's like you swat it. You just, like a spider that's coming at you, you just swat it. You don't want to come at you, right? You don't want to fall on you. That's how we give it to God. God, here, take it. Throw it upon God, and he's going to take care of it. And then all your care, it means anxiety. It's the same word as in take no thought, same root word. So we don't want to be anxious. So just take all our overly concerned thoughts, all of our anxious thoughts. God, please take care of it. And then for he careth for you, it means that he cares about. God really, really, really cares about it. It means to be an object of care or interest. And again, it implies forethought. God thought about it before the foundation of the heavens and the earth, that we were gonna need to be taken care of. That's the God we have. That's the God that takes care of us. And it's a great life that we get to live. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. If you put your friend's shoe there. I lost my place because I put my finger and then I was doing hand motions. Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and some of these things shall be added unto you. Sorry. And many of these things shall be added unto you. No. Right? It says all of these things.
all of them without exception are going to be added unto you. And verse 34, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And this was back when Jesus Christ was on earth, and things were already evil thereof back then. So take no thought. Don't be overly concerned. Don't be anxious. Philippians chapter 4, another of my favorite sections in the Word. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 9. All right, 6 through 9. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you have prayer that you just talk to God. You have supplications. You have, those are specific requests. And then you have thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. So we can do all these things, right? We can talk to God, give thanks to Him, ask for things, specific requests, and we just let all those things be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, and that's the absence of strife with God, which passes all understanding. We cannot comprehend it. It's going to keep or guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Come to the conclusion of these things, all these good stuff. Those things, verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And this is Paul, right? Paul wrote this epistle. And again, it's God and Christ in us. There is no more Apostle Paul. It's us in this world. And we are the ones that extend the peace of God to people. That's who we are. That's what we have. We can do these things. We can bring forward miracles. They can come to pass because we have God's Spirit. We believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, and we have the manifestations. We can operate them. And it's a great life, and we just want to help people and love them up. A couple more places real quick. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 9. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We get to keep our minds stayed on God, that we just block any bad thoughts. You know, we renew our minds to God and his word. And whenever bad thoughts, anxious thoughts come into our brains, we're able to block them. That we just replace them with God is good. And you just repeat it in your head over and over again. And that will really block it. And it will work. So just put that to test. You know, whenever bad stuff happens or you have something coming up, just, you know, stay your mind for a minute or so. Build it up and it will make a difference in your life. Believe me. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So we get to trust God. Put our full confidence in him. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He laid it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost wave the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our souls is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So we seek God first, so seek him early, right? And seek him early, we can do that with prayer and speaking tongues, right? We can wake up in the morning and just talk to God and speak in tongues, and he'll take care of things for us. It's available, you know, to do all that stuff. It's available to stay your mind. You can do it, and you can block bad, anxious, overly concerned thoughts from your head. You know, his word is true, and if it says it, you know, it's true. And to close, we'll go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. In his word is his delight. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper." Whenever you put God first and trust in his word, and that's your delight, you know, everything's going to prosper, and we're going to be rooted like a tree, and we're not going to be able to get moved, and we're going to have great fruit. So that's how we take care of our thoughts. You know, we have a great example, which is God and Jesus Christ, that did his Father's will, right? And that's who we represent now on earth. And he's our greatest example, right? We're followers of him. We just want to follow his example, and we get to do this stuff, right? It's not that that was only happening in the first century church. It happens now too. You can cast out devil spirits, heal the leper, you know, whatever it is, heal anyone, really. Cleanse, you know, deliver people. That's what we have. We have power in us. And that's how we take care of our thoughts, by meditating the word. You know, you put it, and it's not like yoga where you meditate and you're like saying or something like that. That's not really meditating. Meditating is talking to ourselves. We talk the word to ourselves. We stay our mind to God's word. And we don't want to be like empty-brained, like yoga, just like repeating nonsense, because that just allows the adversary to creep in and all these bad thoughts. So we just wanted to put the word in our brains over and over again, and all things shall prosper, and God will take care of us. So we can put our full confidence in him, and that's all I got. Love you guys.